A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew in the 11th chapter. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace, my sisters and brothers, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We say that Advent is a season of waiting. Indeed, we try to persuade ourselves that if we just say that often enough, it will become true. Advent is a season of waiting. Advent is a season of waiting. Advent is a season of waiting. But it's not. If we're honest with ourselves, then we will admit that Advent is a season of impatience. There are other times throughout the year when we experience impatience, but in this season, this time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, this is the time which is the climax of impatience, when all our hurry and worry are concentrated into just 4 short weeks. But it is our anxiety which is most often over the top during this season, partly because we're confronted by so many different questions. Is this the right gift, or shall I seek another? Is this the right party that I was waiting for, or is it another one? Is this that moment with my family that I was longing for, or will I look for something else? The problem with expectation is that there always lies in the back of our minds the horrible possibility that our expectation will go unfulfilled, that what we are waiting for will never happen, that we will forever sit lonely and empty by the side of the road like Valdemir and Estragon, who were waiting for Godot, or like Eleanor Rigby from the old Beatles song, who sits lonely waiting by the window. Or like John the Baptist, waiting in prison. Yes, John the Baptist is back again today, although speaking differently than he did last week. If you remember last Sunday's gospel lesson, we saw John burst on the scene then with fire and vengeance, full of confidence and certainty, announcing the coming of Jesus with great hope and expectation. But today, John comes to us in a different way. He is tired. He is discouraged. He's filled with anxiety and with questions. John the Baptist is like us in some ways. He begins in hope and aggressiveness, but later he has those questions, even those doubts. He thought he knew Jesus. After all, he had baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and as a result, he was eager and energetic just last week. But then time went by. Things got harder for John. In today's gospel, Jesus has begun his ministry, and John finds himself cast into prison by Herod the Great. And he begins to have his doubts lingering there in that cell. Is Jesus really the one he was looking for? What happened, we might ask, to the vivid forecast of John the Baptist that Jesus would chop down fruitless trees and throw chaff into the fire? Well, very simply, that doesn't seem to have happened. And so John begins to wonder and to worry. And he ends up sending several of his disciples to ask this most poignant of questions. Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we wait for another? John, after all, has devoted his entire ministry, even eventually giving his own life, to preparing the way for Jesus Christ. But then John does not even recognize Jesus when he comes. But isn't that what happens with our narrow expectations? Jesus Christ came for John the Baptist, but Jesus comes in a way that John did not expect. At least John had enough sense to ask the right question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Because, my sisters and brothers, that is the Advent question. Are you the one we've been waiting for, or shall we wait for another? Is this the present I've been waiting for? Is this the party? Is this the family reunion? Is this the date I've been waiting for? Is this the job I really wanted? Is this really the house we wanted so desperately just 2 years ago? Is this really the person I loved 4 years ago? Is this really the person I love right now? Advent is a time of nagging doubts and second thoughts. And for John, those nagging doubts and second thoughts stem from the fact that Jesus was simply not fulfilling the expectations that John and most of the Jewish people had for their long-awaited Messiah. They expected that the Messiah would throw off the yoke of Roman oppression. They expected that the Messiah would be the one to reclaim the throne of David. They even expected that the Messiah would act as John had foretold and lay his axe to the root of the tree and throw what was not good into the unquenchable fire. But John misunderstood. Jesus did not come to those people who had the details of his arrival all worked out. Instead, Jesus came to the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the poor, the dead. He came to the downtrodden. He came in humility for the humble. He came for all those who did not have it all worked out for themselves. He came to those who knew they needed him. But is that all there is? Is that what we're waiting for? If then, no wonder the question is asked, are you the one to come? Or are we to wait for another? my sisters and brothers, in the year of our Lord 2013, perhaps the second thoughts and nagging doubts of John are not so far off, as many people in our world today question who this Jesus really is. Perhaps, if we are honest, we too would have to admit that John's question is also our question at times. As Christmas comes closer, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the child in a stable, most of us will affirm yet again that this is no ordinary birth, no ordinary child, but rather the Son of the living God. Yet even as we say that we believe that this Jesus is the Christ, that he is the long-awaited Messiah, even as we affirm it in hymn and in prayer, in carol and in reading, do we really believe? Do we really believe that this is the one? Or do we also have those nagging doubts and second thoughts? Indeed, perhaps the question we face is the same question that nagged at John so long ago. Is this the one that we have been waiting for? Or is there another? There is no doubt that we are a believing people in the midst of an unbelieving world. And as people of faith, we affirm what we believe every time we say the creed, every time we gather at the table, or indeed whenever we come together as God's holy people. And what we believe is that Jesus is the Christ. What we believe is that he is the Savior. What we believe is that he is the Messiah. What we believe is that he is the Deliverer, the one who has come to redeem us from our sin and to reconcile us to God. Yet often, too often, this does not seem to be enough. For we live in a world in which many other people and many other things also claim to offer us deliverance and salvation. Whether it be drugs or modern medicine, whether it be self-help groups or New Age cults, we are offered in our world today a myriad of ways to find salvation. So, living in the midst of such a society, we might also find ourselves having second thoughts about this Jesus, the Christ. With our lips, we might profess him to be the Son of God, but in our hearts, there may be those second thoughts and those nagging doubts. Jesus was a good man, we might say to ourselves, but was he? Was he the one? Or is there yet another who is to come? Even some of our modern theologians have begun to question whether Jesus is the one. In their academic work, they try to remake Jesus into the image of just being a good man who did some wonderful things but then ran afoul of Roman authorities, while other theologians hold that this Jesus was a prophet of God, but that there are numerous ways that God can and will save us. And why should this not surprise us? In an age when there are more than 550 channels on our television sets, when there are over 100 choices of cereal in the grocery aisles, which drives me crazy, when there are more than 200 choices of cars, why would it seem strange that there might be 100 or 200 or 500 different ways to come to God? Maybe Jesus is not the one, but rather Jesus is one of many. Shirley MacLaine, for example, whose acting skills I admire but do not appreciate her weird New Age beliefs, will tell you she has one way to come to know God. Others, with their belief in angels or near-death experiences or the afterlife or any number of groups that they belong to, all tell you and offer to you ways in which you will find some healing power in our lives. And in our multicultural age, where we are called upon to recognize and respect members of other faith traditions, where we're often told that the way of other religions is as valid as ours is in the Christian faith. But as much as I might like individual Muslims or Buddhists, much as I might appreciate those from other faith traditions such as Mormons, I know that they are not the way to find salvation. For my sisters and brothers, I come before you today to tell you in no uncertain terms that Jesus is the one. There is not a specific Savior for each ethnic group or for each gender. There is not a different Savior for each social group or class. There is not a different way to God for people of different faiths. There is only one Savior for all people and for all time, and His name is Jesus the Christ. In our pluralistic world, we are told that we should never claim exclusiveness over other people, but there is no other way around it. For unless we hold firmly to this central tenet of our faith, then we will find ourselves moved and swayed with every new Messiah that comes down the line. Are you the one? Are you the one? John wants a definitive answer, but Jesus answers the question, although not in the way, again, that John might have expected. For Jesus answers indirectly and points not to himself, but to his actions. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. This is not a satisfactory answer for those who demand the security of certainty. After all, other prophets have performed miracles like this, and they did not claim to be the Messiah. Even today, television evangelists claim to work such miracles, but that does not make them the Messiah. So perhaps it is not in the healing actions that we are to find this Jesus who is the one. Instead, listen again to what Jesus tells the disciples of John. He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." In his gospel, Matthew gives priority to hearing and not seeing. "Don't look at what I do," says Jesus, "but rather at what I preach. For I am the Messiah of the word before I am the Messiah of the deeds." In both words and deeds, you can surely see that the kingdom of God has come among you, that indeed in these things I am the promised Messiah. But if you want to know if I am the one, then you have only to hear the good news of salvation proclaimed to you. Only I, says Jesus, can proclaim such salvation. Only I can bring that reconciliation between a fallen humanity and God. And that is why I, and only I, says Jesus, am the one. And if I don't look or sound as you or John expected, that's because the kingdom of God is not what you think it is. But if you can hear these words, says Jesus, and not be scandalized by them, then you are blessed. If you can understand why the good news must be preached to the poor and not be offended, as Pope Francis has been saying so clearly to the whole church these last few months, then you are blessed. If you can see what is being done in the lives of the people whom I encounter, says Jesus, and not let be that cause by which you stumble, then you are blessed. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? These are words that are filled with expectancy and hope, for the promises of God are about to be fulfilled. The people of old had waited for the coming of the Messiah. They looked forward to the day when oppression would cease and hatred and violence would be put down. Yet even as we hear the words that Jesus speaks to John's disciples, words in which we celebrate the coming kingdom of God, we know that the doubts and the second guesses will remain. For even as we prepare to celebrate the coming of the kingdom of God and the promised Messiah in our Christmas celebration, yet we still wait for this Lord who will come again. And as the gods of this world rise and fall before us, it is tempting always to ask whether they are the ones who will fulfill our hopes and our dreams. As Christ becomes more marginal in people's lives and in our society, it is tempting to ask whether Jesus is still the one, or is there another yet to come? But then if you join the crowd gathered around Jesus, if you lean forward to catch his words, we will hear a word of promise, a word that holds both the past and the future together in hope and in faith. Go and tell John what you hear and see. What you hear is the word of God proclaimed in Holy Scripture and in sacrament. What you see is the transforming power of God's grace as it comes to those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, and as it comes to live and work among the poor. What you hear is the love of God speaking to people's deepest desires and spiritual yearnings. And what you see is how God and God alone answers these desires and yearnings in your daily lives. Indeed, it is these words of Jesus which will banish any nagging doubts and second guesses. It is these words of Jesus that will confirm for us that He and only He is the one, and that there is not, indeed, there cannot be another who is yet to come. And it is these words that will give us faith and hope as we wait in patience for His coming again. Are you the one who is to come? Go. Go and tell the world what you have heard. Go and tell the world which so desperately needs to hear this life-giving word of hope and promise. Go and tell them what you have heard and what you have seen in your own lives and in the lives of those around you, so that all may know that this Jesus is the one, the only one, now and for all time. So we pray, Maranatha, may the one who is the one come again soon to be among us. He is. the one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.